This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. It's day one of the Hajj Chronicles. And as we allow our guests, those of you who are watching this broadcast, and for those who are in Mecca and were watching the broadcast, expecting me online basically an hour and a half ago, I'm very sorry, overslept, but for the rest of you, I hope this timing is okay. Anyway, day one, basically, for you there in Mecca, is getting out to Mina. Day one is about reaching Mina. In general, that day one has certain preliminaries. Because you should be putting on ihram and you should have made an intention before setting out. Assuming that you are doing Hajj tamattu, that is the Hajj which has joined Umrah along with Hajj. That Hajj meant that you already came in to Mecca, you already did Umrah, you took off your ihram, you came out of the state of ihram, and you're now going to re-enter it. Today is the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. So it's necessary for you to make the intention, Allahumma labbaik hajja. O Allah, I'm answering your call with Hajj or for Hajj. So having made that intention, and that can be said before or after putting on the ihram garments, because the issues of miqat, the boundaries which surround Mecca, where if you were coming from outside of those boundaries, you're coming from outside of the country, when you first enter into Saudi Arabia, before going landing in Jeddah, because Jeddah is within the miqat or the boundaries, you needed to have made that intention there when you first came in, or if you're coming by car or by plane from other directions, you know, you make this intention. At that point, you have made the intention for Umrah. And as I said, after completing your Umrah, you came out of the state of Ihram, and now on the 8th day, you are setting off to Mina to make Hajj. So you put on the Ihram garments, and on a physical level, those garments are put on for males. Your body should not have any clothing. No underwear, no undershirt, no socks, nothing should be worn. You could wear a watch. Then you put on what seems like a towel. It was originally just a cloth. It become a towel-like garment, which is absorbent to absorb sweat. You wrap that around yourself, right? That is your izar. And then you put over both your shoulders the other piece called the rida, or cloak. You put over both your shoulders. You can pin them. You can bring them together and put a pin. Some of them, maybe there are even press studs. You can stick them together. You know, you stick the ends together and it holds it in place. There is no harm. You know, some people think that because you're not supposed to wear stitched garments, there shouldn't be any kind of stitching in it. Actually, if you stitched on a button and you made a buttonhole and you put the button through, it's no problem. When they're speaking about stitching, it means where it is stitched until you now have a clear line which makes a shirt-like garment, right? You've stitched it in this way. So that's what's meant by stitch, that it's not a garment for normal use. It's just a piece of cloth. So you're basically wearing this most fundamentally simple dress, such a simple dress, you should have, before doing this, or if you're doing it now, go ahead and clip your fingernails, toenails, remove whatever hair from your body you want to remove, you know, according to the sunnah, and you can put on whatever oils or whatever you want to do initially. Now and after that, you can't do anything else, right? So you, after this, you can no longer, once you put on the garments, you make the intention, now none of these things can be done again. Prior to putting it on, you can. So that's basically on a physical level of the ihram. On the psychological level of the ihram, you are in this state that you're entering supposed to avoid argumentation, fighting, abusive language, coarse language, outbursts of anger. You should give up any kind of lewd or bad behavior, avoid lustful glances. This is the state that you're entering into, one which is free from any kind of sexual overtones. And on a spiritual level, having entered into this state where you're reduced now just to these simple garments, you've now become like everybody else. You can't wear fancy clothes which distinguish you from others and give you status. There are no designer ihrams, you know, so you can stand out from all the others. It's just a basic garment. This is really to bring you to the common denominator of enough to cover yourself. When you came into this world, you're wrapped up. When you leave this world, you'll be wrapped again. So it's spiritually humbling. It should be. You should feel humbled. Humility should be one of the characteristics that you will carry throughout your Hajj. Because without humility, then your haughtiness will cause you to say and to do things which are inappropriate, which will ruin, can ruin your Hajj. So very important for women, of course, you avoid gloves, niqab, other additional, go reduce your clothing similarly to the minimum that you have to wear. You have an outer garment, which should cover you, and then minimum that you wear along with it. You shouldn't normally be wearing fancy clothes, etc., so that when you go into the tent and you're amongst the other women and you take off your outer garment, you're wearing, you know, a party dress. This is not a party. This is not an event for showing off and, you know, lauding yourself over others, etc. You should be as simple and as humble as possible. So your inner dress should be like what you would call a house dress. The lowest level of house dress possible. Simple, single color if possible, you know, faded, not bright, shiny, flashy. We're getting away from all of that. Reduce yourself down to the basics. So you don't have to be thinking about dress and these matters anymore. You're going to make Hajj. So from your apartment or hotel room or whatever the location you are staying today, the 8th, you're now going to set off for Mina. Getting to Mina could be by foot, depending. Some places are close enough to Mina, you can walk it. And it may be easier to walk it than to catch a bus. Because sometimes the buses, if they're all setting off at a particular time, you can sit on the bus for hours and the bus goes nowhere. So if your Hajj guides advise you, let's get off the bus and walk, then it's better for you to walk. Don't start to argue, well, I've paid my money, I should have had a bus ride, I don't see why I need to walk here now. No. We need to stay focused on this Hajj. The Hajj guides, they're trying to do what is best. They're not trying to make life difficult for you. Okay, if you have difficulty walking, they need to get you a wheelchair or whatever, let them get you the wheelchair. But try to be patient. Though you have paid for certain amenities that you should have, sometimes these things, even though you've paid for them, they don't come through. So it's necessary for you to be as patient, as calm as possible. Stay focused. After making that intention, then you start to repeat the theme or the anthem of Hajj, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik La Sharika Laka Labbaik, Inna Alhamda Wa Ni'mata Laka Wal Mulk. La sharika lah, lak. So you repeat this in an audible voice. You don't have to scream it. You should also not say it so lightly nobody can hear you. This you repeat throughout the Hajj until you reach the stoning on the 10th. On the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day of Eid, when you begin the stoning, you will stop. But for now, you try to do it every so often. You don't necessarily have to get into saying it in unison with everybody else. You say it for yourself. If you happen to join in with other people, no harm, but don't make it, you know, a sing-song where you feel that you have to be saying it along with everybody else. If it coincides, it coincides. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, you just try to do it whenever you remember. And of course, you know, when you're saying it, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. We should be conscious that we are responding to the call of Prophet Abraham. Allah told Prophet Abraham thousands of years ago to invite people there to Mecca to make Hajj. At a time when there was nothing and nobody. But it was for a time to come, and we are part of that time, responding now to the call of Prophet Abraham. Much of the rites of Hajj are related to himself, his wife Hajar or Hagar, and his son Ismail or Ishmael in English, Ishmael, and the Prophet Abraham's bringing his wife to Mecca and leaving her there at the command of Allah. So, go on out to Mina. But very important for us to keep in mind the importance of Mina. Because the tendency for people making Hajj is to treat Mina as nothing. Mina is just transit. Actually, we're going to Arafah tomorrow. So Arafah is what we're going for, because Prophet Muhammad said, Al-Hajju Arafah. Without Arafah, there's no Hajj. But at the same time, if you only went to Arafah, that doesn't give you Hajj either. If you didn't do anything else, you just went to Arafah for the time in Arafah that you left, you wouldn't have Hajj either. So Hajj to Arafah means that Arafah is an important element, perhaps the most important individual element of Hajj. But right now, our Hajj rites begin with Mina. We are to go to Mina. And we will be in Mina today, the 8th. And we'll be there tomorrow, the 9th. We'll leave around midday. And we'll be there on the 10th. And we'll be there on the 11th. And on the 12th. And on the 13th, if we stay till the 13th. So we're talking about 6 days or 5 days in which we will be in Mina each and every day. So, for Allah to have made Mina the longest time spent in all of the various locations that we'll be going to, for Allah to have made Mina this important, that we're going to be spending all this time, then we have to also treat it as important. It must be important. It isn't just a transit point. We're just passing through Mina. No, we're going to spend time in Mina. If we have set out early today, as the Prophet Muhammad did, the earlier the better, we go to Mina, and we, in Mina, prepare ourselves for Arafah. This time in Mina now, for the 8th and the 9th, is preparation for Arafah. But still, we are in Mina performing the rites, the Hajj rites of Mina. So, what do the Hajj rites of Mina consist of? Well, for the most part, they consist of our formal prayers. We'll be praying Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr tomorrow morning, and possibly Dhuhr, depending on when your Hajj group leaves. So praying the formal prayers, the salawat, is a critical element of Mina. And they set the tone of Hajj. If we do the formal prayers properly, correctly, then the rest of Hajj will be proper and correct, because we will have established a principle for our Hajj of correctness, doing it the right way. Not just doing it. It's not about just doing it. No, it's about doing it correctly. So, formal prayers in Mina should be done in a reduced form. That is, our 4-unit prayers of Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha should be reduced to only 2 units. But in Mina, where we go there now, we will be praying them at their individual times. We shorten it, but we don't join them. So, praying those formal prayers, as I said, will now set the tone of Hajj for ourselves. So what do we need to do? The Prophet ﷺ had told us, Sallu Salata Muwaddain, pray a farewell prayer. This is the prayer that we should be striving for, the farewell prayer. What is the farewell prayer? It is a prayer that we make as if it is the very last prayer we have to make before we leave this world. You know that if somebody told you, you have one more prayer to make, that's it. After that, you're dead. You're finished from this world. How are you going to make that prayer? Is it like any of the prayers you've made before? No. It's going to be one in which you strive to get the maximum out of everything you say, everything you do, everything you think. Your whole being will be focused in that prayer. So that's the prayer that you want to be doing in Mina. Your formal prayers need to be like that. For the formal prayers to be like that, then the preparation for the formal prayer has to be a sincere and clear preparation. So we have, as we all know, wudu. Wudu is our basic preparation for prayer. Without wudu, there is no prayer. Wudu, washing ourselves, ablution, washing ourselves, should be done again as if we are making a farewell wudu. You know, somebody told you, you only have one more wudu to make, to before making that prayer, your life has ended. How are you going to make wudu? You're going to say Bismillah. Because you should say Bismillah before wudu. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, authentically recorded, that one who doesn't say wudu, Bismillah before the wudu has no wudu. So saying Bismillah is critical. Say Bismillah. But not Bismillah like you say Bismillah before you eat. You're not even thinking about it. But Bismillah. Really, doing it for Allah's pleasure in the name of Allah. And then, recalling that the Prophet ﷺ had said that when one makes wudu, the sins that the limbs have committed are washed off and fall from the body with each drop of water which falls from the body. It's purification from sin. Wudu is purification. So we have to think, because we wanted this hajj to be purification. We are all aware of that great reward for hajj, that we may come back from the hajj like pure from sin, like the way we were born. This is something we're striving for, preparing ourselves for paradise in this life, here and now. So that wudu needs to be of that quality. So as we wash our hands, we reflect on the purification, the sins that our hands have committed are being washed off. Our mouths, what we have said. Our eyes, what we have seen. Our ears, what we have heard. Our feet, where we have gone. The sins that our body parts have taken us to, at our own command, at our own instruction, we're seeking to purify ourselves from these sins. So, it means then that the wudu that we are making is one which is truly a purifier. And the Prophet ﷺ, had said that wudu, purifies one from sin. It is a purifier. So that is reiterated at the end of the wudu, when we say, Allahumma ij'alna min at-tawwabin, O Allah, make us from among those who are repentant, waj'alna min al-mutatahhirin, and make us among those who have been purified, who remain pure. And we repeat our shahada also. We say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear witness there is no God worthy of worship of Allah. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. We repeat that declaration because it is as if we are newly coming back into this world after that wudu which has removed the sins from ourselves. Then we repeat or we state our declaration of faith. And we ask Allah to keep us in this state, to purify us and to keep us in this state. And then, when we now go to make salah, standing before Allah saying Allahu Akbar, our state of mind will be completely different. We're trying to make that farewell prayer after making a farewell wudu. And I'm not saying that the Prophet ﷺ called this wudu the farewell wudu. I'm just calling it that. Because we're making wudu for the farewell prayer, so it makes sense that the wudu should be like a farewell wudu. So we're doing this wudu like a farewell wudu in order to be prepared for this farewell prayer. And then, again, in the prayer, we need to know what we're saying. Actually, this preparation we needed to do before we even came for Hajj, to learn what all the things that we say in prayer mean, so that the prayer becomes meaningful. It has meaning. Each and everything we say, each and every action we do, it has a meaning. And we are trying to live that meaning. So, it is such a prayer that is going to purify us again. From prayer to prayer, the Prophet ﷺ had said, It's purification for sins in between. The whole prayer, as wudu is a purifier, prayer itself is a purifier. It purifies us from sin. So we need to strive to make sure that our prayers are in fact ones which are going to help us achieve the goal of Hajj, purification from sin. We also have, while we're here in Mina, supplications to make, words of remembrance to do, the adhkar. So we try to utilize our time after the prayers, between prayers. We utilize it in remembering Allah. Maybe we do that at home after our regular prayers. We're doing that already. We say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. But the way we did it at home was quickly. We were trying to finish it as quickly as possible. We say Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. But that way is a meaningless way. We're not even conscious of what we're saying, which are our lips, our tongues, our throats, we're making sounds. But we're not really saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wallahu Akbar. We're not really saying this. As if we meant it, with some understanding behind it. We're not saying it that way. So if we're not saying it that way, really it's useless. There's no difference between that and what Hindus do, for example. You know, when they go in their temples, they have chants. And that chant, they have Om, that's their popular chant. They will make that chant together, Om, Om, Om. They keep repeating it. The whole temple repeats it. So you have this resounding sound. But what does Om mean? Nobody knows. It's just a sound, a chant. So that's what we're doing. We're just saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So what does Subhanallah actually mean? What does Alhamdulillah actually mean? What does Allahu Akbar actually mean? What should it mean in our lives? This is what we should be focusing on in our adhkar. And the other point to note in Mina, we said supplications, making dua. And dua is the essence of worship, as Prophet ﷺ had said, ad-dua wal-ibadah. Dua is the essence of worship. So we should make as much dua as possible. Furthermore, we have to remember, as we said, that Mina is, at this time, a preparation for tomorrow's Arafah. And what is Arafah about? Of course, we'll go into detail tomorrow, in tomorrow's session, the second day the Hajj Chronicles. We'll be looking at Arafah in more detail. But fundamentally, we can sum up Arafah as dua. Arafah is dua. Because dua is the essence of worship, and Arafah is dua, then Hajj is Arafah. So Arafah is about dua. And we'll have almost 6 hours, 5 or 6 hours in Arafah to make dua. Have you ever made dua for 5 or 6 hours? No. So then what's going to happen? From the time you get there and start to make dua, you're going to run out of dua very quickly. So whilst you're here in Mina, if you've reached, or when you get there, it's good to make a note of the most important things that you should be making dua for. Dua in your own language is most effective. Dua is in Arabic, supplications in Arabic that you understand, wonderful. Ones that the Prophet ﷺ gave us, even more wonderful. But we need to have a compilation of to be ready for Arafah. If we are used to making dua over long periods of time, then I'd say, okay, you're fine, no problem. But if you are like the rest of us, the average person who usually doesn't make dua for more than about 2 to 5 minutes, then you're going to need help. It's good to take some notes, write down some points, so you don't end up in Arafah, run out of dua, and you're just now wasting your time of Arafah. When Hajj is Arafah, and your Arafah is lost, you're not using it as you should. You end up sleeping there, doing all kinds of other things. So, let us try to make Mina fully focused. Pay attention to the key rites of Mina, that is formal prayer, shortened, but not joined. It is dua, supplication, and it is words of remembrance. It contains, we should be remembering Allah frequently throughout the time we're there in Mina. It is permissible for us to socialize to some degree. You are traveling with a group to talk with others, get to know those who are making Hajj with you. But not to allow socialization to take up all your time. So you now end up chatting about family, your kids, what's happening back in your home country, and, you know, make it into just a general socialization. No. That you can do after the Hajj. That you could have done or should have done before the Hajj. Now you're in Hajj, you don't want to be spending your time doing that, because it's easy. It's easy to get into such conversations and just end up chatting, and your time goes. You end up tired and sleeping, so you're just chatting, socializing, and sleeping. Maybe you get up and you roam around Mina and see all the other tents, see all the other, you know, groups, etc. You're on a sightseeing tour, looking at the people. No, you don't want to spend your time. If you have to go out, okay, you go out, get something to eat, or go out, you know, get some air. Yes, you shouldn't be just sitting in one place all the time, but keep focused. Hajj can easily run away from us. Like a camel, not tied, will flee. So beware. Protect your Mina. Guard your Mina. Protect it. Let it be a platform for you to have a successful Arafah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this day for you. For us home here in our countries, that He bless our intention to want to be with there with you, to want to be there in Mecca, to make that Hajj Mabrur, one accepted by Allah, done correctly on a physical, psychological, and spiritual level, on all levels. I ask Allah to give you that Hajj. beginning with your first rites in Mina. Going to Mina, staying in Mina, and on to Arafah. It's preparation, so prepare yourselves well. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. As Allah said, prepare yourself. And the best preparation is taqwa, being conscious of Allah. And all of the rites of Hajj are to enhance that consciousness. So please, do not do anything which will take away from the consciousness. Strive your best to do what would increase that consciousness. Help those around you who are wasting their times in chatter, backbiting, gossip, and sleep. Help them, advise them gently, so that they also don't lose their Hajj. Barakallahu fikum. I hope to see you tomorrow at 9 for the second day of the Hajj Chronicles. I might stop in later tonight for a few thoughts, and then again I might not, as time permits. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.